Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
We're going to return now to the aftermath of the general election, and I'm joined now by two people who have plenty of experience when it comes to government formation. Nora Owen, former Fine Gael Minister for Justice, and Dermot O'Hearn, former Fianna Fáil Minister for Justice. So Nora, to start with you, we had...
Good morning to you
and lovely to talk to you. We had Fintan O'Toole here earlier and he said, look, they don't need Labour. They don't need the Sock Dems. The numbers dictate that they need a couple of independents, you know, solid independents who they know will get them through. What do you think?
Well, I think Fintan is probably close enough to the reality. I mean, my sense is that the less people the government, the Fianna Fáil Fine Gael mixture has to take in, the easier it will be to run the government. Because you know too well, Claire, that events arise, and if you have a biggish group like 11 of the Labour Party, there'll be somebody in the Labour Party who won't like what's happening, and there'll be a split. I mean, a word kept coming into my mind about forming the government, and that was the word trust. Nobody has talked about the fact that it won't be 11 Labour and 11 Dems sitting down together. They have to pick a little team to do the negotiation, and that team has to be trusted by the rest of them. So if you've got a whole lot of new people who don't understand the mechanics of making a government, they will object, you know, every time one of their people decide they'll agree to something. So the less people you have to find agreement with, I think being realistic is right.
But it's tricky though, you
do have to be able to trust the five or six people, because it looks as if they'll certainly need to get maybe up to 90 or 92 to make sure that people turn up for the votes, you know. You don't have as much control over a group of independents as you might have over a party with a whip.
But at the same time, they
could fall out on you.
Some of the independents, though, have been in there before. You know, they have done business
That's why... You know, Shane Ross kind of led the way in kind of finding a way. But remember, Shane started to put that group together a year out from the election. He was experienced enough to see that the moment might come when they needed a kind of a more cohesive group. Mm-hmm. So he had put it together. But even then, Claire, rows erupted. Remember the junior ministry, Sean Kenny?
That's right,
and all
the flip of the coin. Yep.
Yeah, and a flip of the coin. So, I mean, I think trust is needed. And if you think about 11 of the Labour, I mean, I have a fondness for Labour, and I mean, I started in politics with Dermot O'Hearn, like there was three parties, the Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, and what we called the half party, because Labour was always much smaller. But at the same time, Ivana has the problem that she's a lot of new deputies there. They may not be comfortable in agreeing to the things that perhaps Alan Kelly and Ivana and whoever they pick as the negotiation team are. And the negotiation team are very important. And you see, look at Sock Dems. I mean, there's very little experience there of sitting down and agreeing a programme for government and then selling it to the rest of the nine or ten or the eight of them that weren't there.
Well, look, Dermot is listening to all of that. Dermot, good morning to you. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Good morning, Claire. So, good morning, Nora.
So you've had a
morning,
look,
Dermot.
You've had a good look at the numbers now. I mean, do you agree with what's emerging this morning, that really, if you're Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, you'd be looking at the independents now rather than Labour and the Sock Dems?
Well, I think the fact that they're so close together, that's probably very much an option. I think knowing Micheál, he probably would want, I think this would be the same for Simon Harris, they'd be looking for stability. And I think taking, as they said before the election, the possibility of one party into coalition, one cohesive part like Labour or the Social Democrats on their own would be the preferred option, because it would give stability. But given the fact that, you know, the soundings coming from Labour and Social Democrats at the moment is that they're going to try and form an alliance, maybe with Roderick O'Gorman, I would think the independent option would come very much into the fore if that was going to be the case.
And Cormac McQuinn has a nice line today in his analysis in the Irish Times, where he says the cats are herdable, that there are some of them in there that might be easy for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael to do business with. Dermot, do you agree?
I do, because quite a lot of them are people, as Nora had said, who have done business before. and who are clearly indicating in what in their comments since the election that, you know, they're ready to do business. You know, I've been there before. I remember having to sit down with Tom Gilday and Jackie Healy-Ray and you know, keep them sweet in relation to things in my ministry at the time. I think it was social welfare, not that I could do a lot for them. But we were all delegated by Bertie to be nice to the independents because, in effect, they were keeping us all in jobs.
Right.
So, and remember Dermot Seamus Brennan was called the nanny.
He was the chief, I think,
to see his son now following in, but he was called the nanny because he had to hold the hand and be available at the end of the phone, apparently, day and night, you know. And
They turned out to be nearly more solid in support of the government than some of our own at the time, I remember, or some of our own wavering. So I think, you know, while it's probably not as good for the country in a way in that, you know, they mightn't, a number of independents mightn't be as stable as we'll say one other party. If that one other party isn't available, I think it wouldn't be a good thing for the country if Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, Labour and the Social Democrats and the Greens were all in government. I don't think that would be good for the country.
I don't think that would work.
A very weak opposition. So it has to be, and I think...
Well, it hands an opportunity to Sinn Féin.
Well, they have that opportunity anyway. I mean, given the fact that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have crossed the Rubicon, you know, it's conceivable that they will be part of a government for the foreseeable future, and Sinn Féin will be in opposition. And, you know, that perhaps is not a good thing either. In a way, in that you know, they're on the sideline hurling, and you know, they're against everything and for nothing.
Well, that's your view on it.
Listen, parties are.
I wanted
to. Can I just say about the Social Democrats? You see, they remind me very much of 1987 when the PDs emerged, and out here, I know I got nobbled by that because a PD candidate emerged, got 4,000 votes, didn't get elected, but the votes scattered, and I lost my seat. And the same thing has happened now with the Social Democrats. They became the kind of go-to easy person to vote if you didn't like Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael and you weren't voting Sinn Féin, the Social Democrats. But they will want to make their mark. If they go into government, they obviously could get swamped, but equally they want to make their mark against Sinn Féin. And I just was thinking that all this talk about a change of government and Sinn Féin claiming they have the entitlement. They've no entitlement. It's whoever can put the numbers together. And I mean, if this could be a left alliance, then they have to start working on that from opposition, you know, a year into the, you know, leave a year and then start working on it. And I can't see that. I'm sure Dermot would agree.
Don't forget that Sinn Féin, Sinn Féin have the same number of seats as Fine Gael, and they could arguably look at you and say, well, you don't have a right to this either.
No, but as Dermot has said, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have crossed the Rubicon. Eoin O'Malley wrote that very aptly in the Sunday Independent. You know, they've taken the soup, as it were. They've made the decision. They're not going back on that. There may be some around the edges about ministries and how many you'll give and sharing of committees and all that. And that will still come. But I can't help thinking, the bigger the group you have to bring into government, the more likely when the first issue of, and it's not gone away, the first issue of migration, the settling of bypass people in somebody's constituency, and the next thing that somebody has resigned. I mean, a big change in Irish politics is the number of people who don't get through a convention in Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, or even Labour, and go as independents and then get elected, but they might only get elected the once. And of course, the thing now is maybe for the parties to try and sweeten them and bring them back into the fold.
Listen, can we talk about what is likely to happen when Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael get into their negotiation? Because Dermot, Fine Gael were out of the traps very quickly over the weekend talking about parity of esteem, the deputy leader Helen McEntee. Now, it must be a hard one for Fianna Fáil to swallow, given that they're 10 seats ahead, that Fine Gael would expect that.
Again, you know, knowing Micheál particularly, I think, you know, that issue of the rotating Taoiseach, again, seeing that we've crossed the Rubicon in that as well, I think it will be easily solved, whether it's 50-50 or whether it's maybe on a proportion 3 years and 2 years. I think all those things will be worked out. And to be honest, I do think their focus mainly will not be on that type of an issue. Of course, you know, it'll take up a lot of paragraphs and papers and so on and mm-hmm. comment and even amongst backbenchers. I think at the end of the day, their focus will be on providing some sort of stability. Their preference, I think, would be a party as the third leg. But if they're not willing to do business, then they're going to have to do it with independence.
But you don't think that Micheál Martin, I mean, he will need to assert that he is in the driving seat here, according to seat numbers.
Well, he is undoubtedly, and that could be taken care of in relation to particularly you know, division of places on cabinet and junior ministries and all of that. But again, the rotating Taoiseach, I think it will be on the table, and I think, you know, it could be taken care of if there was any dispute in relation to, you know, apportioning based on the seat number. Yeah, that could be the way
I'm
it
sure,
could be done.
I'm sure that, Dermot, you'll know this, that there will be people in Fianna Fáil who were elected over the weekend who will see that as very unfair, that Micheál Martin wouldn't be Taoiseach for the next 5 years.
There might be. But at the end of the day, they're either in government or they're not. And they have, obviously, it's not, they didn't win an overall majority. So, you know, I think it's something, it remains to be seen. But my feeling is that this can be dealt with quite easily, perhaps based on a apportioning between the two based on the number of seats. But then, of course, if there's a third party in, maybe, you know, the third party will say, hold on a second, we're providing 10 seats or whatever, 11 seats.
What do we get?
So they might come in and say, we need a rotating Taoiseach, which then may very well bring in the issue of the two parties going for independence only, because they won't be looking for a bigger price.
Yeah, I think, Claire, that Dermot is right. I mean, Micheál Martin wants to have stability. If he will get the first term, obviously, as Taoiseach, if there is a rotating Taoiseach agreed. And I think that it has worked well, and I think he will want to continue that. And I think it'll be around the edges. I'm not saying now that it's important. It is important that there is a sort of sense of, yes, you got 10 more seats than Fine Gael. But at the same time, Fine Gael has agreed they will go into government with Fianna Fáil again. And we don't want to see a situation arise where Fianna Fáil has to make a decision then to change their leader and decide to go with Sinn Féin. I just don't see that happening. And I just hope that this is where, again, trust and belief in each other, what you want to do. I mean, there's a huge job of work to be done on housing. The Labour Party housing programme is different than the Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael housing programme. So there'll have to be some give on that. But we really need to see the government, whatever it is, to be stable to do that.
Right.
There's money there. There is money that can be made available to build the houses that we need. What you need now is trust.
Okay.
You need trust between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, and generosity, I suppose, of spirit.
Right.
And you need trust with whoever goes in with
them. Nora, are you saying to Fianna Fáil, don't put too much pressure on Fine Gael here now, because you then push them into opposition, and Fianna Fáil, you'll end up having to talk to Sinn Féin, which puts Micheál Martin in a difficult position.
A number of the people who have reporting on the election have said, you know, that's a possibility. I think it's only a very minor possibility that will happen, and I think Simon Harris will recognise that he has he has 38 seats compared to 48. He also has 22 new deputies in there to learn the ropes, as it were. So I mean, whatever agreement they reach, I know the election is over now, so any little ups and downs that went on during the election were part of the election process. I think there will be a serious effort by the Fine Gael people to get a good government going, and I think you will see that people will be willing to make sure that Sinn Féin don't get into government. And the only way Sinn Féin will get into government is if Micheál Martin goes back on his word. And I don't believe, I think Micheál Martin has played a very, very steady role in politics in the last number of years. I admire him greatly for how he has survived Dermot some of the pushes from his own side, and sure. he has shown himself to be a very firm and good leader. So
well,
I think he will want that stability.
Well, listen,
I mean,
Dermot,
I think Simon Harris has been brilliant too. He's had a few hiccups in the last week or 10 days, but he has taken the party now, and he'll get the 22 new deputies ready now for the next election.
All right, and do you think it was wise, Nora, to put him front and centre of the campaign in the way that Fine Gael decided to do that? You know, his face was on almost every poster.
As the campaign went on, Claire, one of the problems I had as somebody who's around a long time, and it's not for me, people don't like us oldies telling them what to do, but you see, nobody knew the faces nationally of the new candidates, so even when he was surrounded by new candidates who are now TDs, we didn't know who they were, so Simon looked a bit isolated for a lot of the campaign, and you saw of course that Pascal came out and Helen McEntee came out in the last week or 10 days to kind of back up Simon. It was because Simon had the energy to do it, but it was perhaps a little error on their part not to have recognised that he needed that backup and support
earlier.
Around. And, you know, look, the Kanturk thing, I don't want to bring it up again, but like the people around him, there's experienced people that really should be put out as backup people on a campaign, and maybe they were all in doing all the work in the headquarters or somewhere. I would have been happier if I'd seen a few more experienced people perhaps just around to avoid the kind of things that can happen. Things can come up in an election. People are anxious. They're getting up very early. They're going to bed very late. They're not eating properly very often, and they're rushing around. And things can go a little bit haywire, and here and there some of them did.
Okay,
but I'm delighted to see the people who are elected. I wish them well. It's a very exciting time and a very sad time for those who lost their seats.
Of course.
And they need a bit of comfort as well.
Okay, just Dermot, I want to come back to something that Nora reminded of us of earlier. So Simon Harris may not have the same number of seats as Fianna Fáil, but he has a lot of power, because what are Fianna Fáil going to do if Simon Harris won't play ball with them? That's his negotiating strength, isn't it?
Well, I think it's inconceivable that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael won't be in government. I think there's no other possibility than that, to be honest. It's really an issue of whether it's with independents or whether it's one of the other two parties.
Mm-hmm. So can you see a situation whereby Simon Harris and Fine Gael don't get what they want, they leave Fianna Fáil isolated, and then Micheál Martin is left with this dilemma? He said he wouldn't talk to Sinn Féin, but he has no other option if he wants to be in government.
In a nutshell, no.
You don't think it's going to happen?
No.
So that means Fianna Fáil is going to have to...
If Fine Gael were to do that, I mean, will be tied them as regards the middle voter, the centre voter.
But I suppose, Dermot, what I'm getting at is Fianna Fáil are going to have to make concessions to Fine Gael that they may not like.
Look, at the end of the day, I think with Micheál at the helm, it'll be a very practical, pragmatic negotiation with Fine Gael that won't. You heard them before the election, you hear them eternally saying it's not about personalities. Yes, of course, there will be a division of spoils, as it were, cabinet seats, etc., etc. But at the end of the day, I think Micheál and Simon, I don't know Simon as well, but I know Micheál, it will be about providing stability for the next 5 years. As Micheál said before the election, he believes a government should go for the full 5 years. Personally, when I was in government, I was always of that view. Bertie Ahern was of that view. It provides stability. It provides a stable landscape, which everyone wants in the country, but also people from outside the country who are doing business in the country. They want a stable economic situation.
Yeah.
They don't want any shocks.
Yeah.
And that's why I think that will be first and foremost behind what Micheál does.
Listen,
and there will be a pragmatic division of the spoils.
Let's see what happens. We'll have to leave it there, but thank you both, Dermot Ahern and Nora Owen. Good to talk to you both. We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.